Good evening. Again, if you have a Bible, find Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. We had full intention of preaching this sermon last week, and we had to call James sort of last minute. Acts chapter 4. Is everybody there? Head bobs, yes? Yeah, all right. Just give you a little background of what's happening in Acts chapter 4. Peter and John, the apostles Peter and John, were preaching, and they were arrested, and they were brought before the Sanhedrin. And this happened a couple different times. Basically, they'd be arrested, they'd be punished in some way, beaten in some way, and they'd be in jail. And what would happen when they were in jail? An angel somehow miraculously would let them out. I mean, it was kind of a miracle, right? And this happened a couple different times, and at the beginning of the church, and they're beaten and then let go and beaten and let go, and they kept going out to preach every one of these times, even if they were put in jail, even if they were mistreated. But this time in Acts chapter 4, they're brought in front of the Sanhedrin, and they are told, you are not to mention his name again. And I think we talked about this recently. They wouldn't even say the name of Jesus. They said, just don't say his name again. But they continue to do it anyway. Look at verse 13 in Acts 4. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, this is the Sanhedrin and the people in the city, and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, they were stunned, and they realized these guys must have really been with Jesus. So it's just a very powerful time in the world, and people are astonished by Peter and John's boldness, and they're arrested, they're beaten, and this cycle happened a couple different times. And as soon as they're let go, as soon as they get out of the jail and out of their place, look what happens. Verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord, and they said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. So as soon as they are let go, and when they're in captive in front of this judge, right, this group, this court, really, the Jewish court, the Sanhedrin, when they're brought in front of them, what do they comment about? Their boldness. But as soon as they get out of jail, what do they pray for more of? More boldness. Lord, help us to be even more bold. Now look at verse 30. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They're already bold. I mean, that's been established. Everybody that they've met, including this Jewish court, they say, those guys are bold. Something's happened to them. They've been with Jesus. They've seen some miracles. They know that this is true, and they know this is a real movement, not some fly-by-night thing. So they are already bold, but they pray for more boldness. And why would they continue down that path? You ever think about that? Why would they continue down that path? In some ways, aren't you surprised some people didn't come alongside those guys and say, hey, Peter, hey, John, you've already been arrested once. You've already been arrested twice. You've been beaten. You've been put in jail. Maybe it's time you slow down a little bit, okay? Think about your family. You know, the Lord has given you this, these children, this wife, this house to steward over, to watch over. Why don't you just slow down a little bit? You know, two arrests is enough. Isn't that kind of a sign, Peter? Think about your wife, okay? You've already done a ton. Think about your future. You know, if I was arrested twice, beaten, brought in front of like the Michigan State Supreme Court, if Pastor James, if that happened to him, I think a few of us might be tempted to say, Pastor Josh, you know, you have four young children. Pastor James, you have three kids. One of them's only 3 months old. Maybe you better calm down a little bit. Maybe back off. Except nobody did that. The entire church in that city, they gather around these guys and they say, listen, we want everybody to pray that you would have even more boldness. You see, back then they didn't think the same way we do. Okay? Listen to Paul. It's Ephesians chapter 6. We have time. You can turn there if you're speedy. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6:19-20. And for me, that utterance may be given to me. He's asking for prayer. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So here you go, another one of these guys, the Apostle Paul. I mean, I'm sure if we were in a debate, engaged in a debate with somebody, we could arguably say the Apostle Paul was maybe one of the boldest men to ever live. I mean, it's pretty bold. You go into a city and you start preaching. They get mad at you and stone you, and you are dead, right? So like, oh, this guy is dead, so couple of them, they drag them out to the outside of the city, shut the gate, you know, let the wild animals sort of pick them apart. We're not even going to give this guy a respectful burial. And God brings him back to life. He stands up and he marches right back in the city and starts preaching again. I mean, arguably, couldn't you say that is probably one of the most boldest things ever? So it would seem like, well, Paul might have enough boldness. I mean, if we would be looking around at people and say, well, you know, he's got enough of this, he's got enough of that. No, Paul even said, you know, sometimes, he's telling this church in Ephesus, sometimes, guys, I get a little bit nervous, I get a little bit scared when I'm sharing the gospel, and I need you to pray that I would speak boldly. Pray for me. So you have Peter, you have John, you have Paul, all asking for more boldness. You've got to be kidding me, right? These guys are some of the boldest people ever to live, and they're saying, pray for me that the Lord would give me even more. I don't know, maybe I'm a little wild. This seems remarkable. My dad was saved in 1991, and maybe sometime we can convince him to give his testimony or something like that. But I think it was 90 or 91, and he got married to a mom in 86, and I think she asked him, well, are you saved? And he said, yeah, I'm saved. Well, over the years of going to church and stuff as a family, he finally admitted to my mom what his version of saved meant. He says, well, you know, I was in seven consecutive Memorial Day weekends, he was in accidents, like serious accidents. Like one time the truck rolled end for end. He was ejected out of the vehicle. He was face down in the mud. They were looking for him in the wreckage. The hood was laying on top of him, and he had a dog, and the dog was over there by him, and they finally found him, and they called the Justice of the Peace to declare him dead. And there was these like burly well drillers that flipped him over, dug the mud out of his mouth, and said, no, he's alive. The next year, I think it was, they were driving home through Houston, and it was 8-lane highway, 4 lanes on each side. And their dad was at home with the youngest brother watching television, and the dad says, "Oh, look at some idiots on the 610 loop with a motorhome on fire," because in Houston they had helicopters, you know. And dad's brother said, "That's our motorhome. That's Tom. Look at it. He's running out of it." The motorhome exploded, and dad was the last one to get out before it blew up. And he has, I don't remember every story, but he has all these stories. So in his mind, the Lord saved me. He thought he was saved. And it took him a few years, you know, of going to church and the Spirit of God working in his heart to get him to come to a realization that he needed to personally ask Christ to save him and forgiveness of sins. I remember I was probably about 10 years old or so, and we lived in this farmhouse. And do you remember the old farmhouses? They didn't always have ducts upstairs. They would just have a hole in the floor above the downstairs duct. And they were sitting, my dad, my mom, and a pastor were sitting around the table. And I was like trying to look through the duct, trying to see what was happening. Yeah, I think you can picture that as a 10-year-old. And I remember them talking about salvation. I remember my dad praying around that table. And then I remember in the days afterwards, he came home. He says, "I've been telling everybody at work that I got saved, that God changed me. I've been telling everybody that I'm different, a different person now." How many people hear stories like that? You get saved, and what happens? You're just on fire for God. You know, you're going out within days, maybe within hours of that salvation experience, you're out telling people about Jesus. Well, how is that going today? How long has it been since you shared the love of Jesus with someone now? It seems like what happens is those new believers have incredible boldness. Why do they have so much more boldness and we're sort of, you know, relaxed? One pastor said, it's because we haven't institutionalized them yet. We haven't trained them not to take risks. We haven't come alongside them and said, "Come on now, you know, we can't save the entire state of Michigan. Cool off, you know? We can't save the whole world." Does that even make sense? That we do things like that? I mean, we may not say things exactly like that, but that's kind of the framework that we throw out. The longer we're in church, it seems like the less we share the gospel. And perhaps the Apostle Paul knew that tendency, and Peter and John knew that tendency to drift away. The longer you're saved, the longer you're in church, the longer you're in a relationship with Christ, the farther we get away from wanting to share his love and be bold. So what did they do? They constantly prayed for boldness. Constantly. They tell their church family, "Hey, tonight at prayer meeting, let's get together and let's pray for more boldness." And this isn't necessarily an indictment on you or me or us, but when's the last time First Baptist Church people got together and said, "Let's pray for more boldness"? Like I say, I'm not trying to pick on anybody. We're just preaching. We're just talking about the Word of God. When's the last time, and here's another kind of little bit of a jab, the Michigan Association of Regular Baptist Churches, when's the last time all of us pastors got together and said, "Let's pray for more boldness"? Thursday morning, we're meeting with the Eastern Michigan pastors, and we are planning the Eastern Michigan Association conference. It's just a half a day thing that the Eastern Michigan gets together. And there's also a Michigan one too, and that's in Kalamazoo. But the Eastern Michigan is on this side of the state. But it seems like a lot of times when all of those pastors get together, and especially regular Baptist pastors, it seems like, and I've heard this from other friends of mine, it seems like we just sort of get around each other and pat each other on the back. Hang in there. You know, this world is tough. Just hang in there. Hang in there? Shouldn't we be praying for each other? Be bold. When's the last time you grabbed the boldest person you know and said, let's pray that you would have even more boldness? That's what they did with Peter, John, Paul. Now, when we see bold people, we're like, pull them aside. Calm down. It's for your own good. Last Wednesday night, Pastor James and I, we cut church, and we went out to the trailer park and the other side of town on Lehman Street to try to meet some of the children and kids that are out there. And he was going up to people and introducing himself, inviting people to the Family Fun Fest, and he had a stack of notes that he's passing out. And he starts telling this one group, there was two guys and a lady standing there, and as soon as he said he was a pastor, they like move their can of Budweiser off to the side like we didn't already see it. And James starts telling them about how the Lord changed him and how the Lord saved him. And there was another guy over there, and James, you noticed this, I'm sure, he was drilling together some kind of a wooden thing that he was building. He sat down his drill and walked over to listen to the story Pastor James was telling. So there was three men, one lady standing there having this conversation with Pastor James. And when Pastor James, and I'm not picking on you once again, I'm not picking on you, don't feel this, but when he was done, he whispered to me, he says, was that okay? He says, this is what he said, something like this. He said, I know some pastors, I know some people wouldn't want me to go into such detail. Isn't that a shame that someone would put a lid on one of the boldest people I know? Of course it's okay. In fact, you know what? We messed up. We should have got down on our knees right there and asked the Lord to give us even more boldness. You know, sometimes we miss things sometimes. I ran across another story of another pastor. He was saved. He was about 10th grade or something like that. In his 11th grade year, he got out the yearbook, and he started looking through the yearbook, and he started looking at all the seniors, and he thought to himself, he said, you know what? I'm never going to see these guys again. By the end of this year, they're going to be graduated, and they're going to move away. Never going to see them again. So he got on the phone, and he called every one of those seniors. This was a big school. I mean, my 200 or 300 people, I'm sure. And he says, he starts calling people. He's like, okay, this is going to be one of the weirdest phone calls you ever heard. But I want to tell you about my friend, Jesus Christ. He said the next week he had 50 new people in his church that came to his church. He had to call up the youth pastor and said, hey, I've got 50 people that said they want to come to church, but a lot of them don't have rides. And they had to figure out how to get those people to church. You know, there's a part of us, part of me, that says, you know, that is kind of weird. That is kind of a weird phone call. And I don't know if I could do that. Well, then maybe we need to pray for more boldness. You know, if we're losing that fire, pray to get it back. If we're losing that passion for sharing Jesus Christ as we go on in the years of our lives, we need to look back and say, you know what, I remember those days when I was talking about Jesus to tons of people. You know, you bump into somebody, hey, you know, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about what the Lord has done for me. I remember those days. You ever think like that? I've heard a lot of stories where people are like, I remember when. We used to do this at church. I remember when I used to do that at church. I remember when I used to do this for the Lord, and it's sort of like, I used to do that, but I don't do that anymore. When is that like light bulb hopefully going to go on in our heads to say, wow, you know what? I need to get back to that. I need to start praying for more boldness. You know, folks, I don't think it's in God's plan for our boldness to sort of die a slow death. In fact, I think our boldness should be getting stronger, should be getting greater as we mature in our walk with the Lord. So this week, in your own personal prayer life, in your own time of devotion and whatever, however you do it, I would like you to pray for a few things. I'd like you to pray for Pastor James and I, that we would have boldness in our interactions with people. Our wives would have boldness. In fact, I hear stories about Susanna, and Andrea tells me stories about her, that sometimes our wives seem to be more bold than we are. Pray for more boldness for us. Pray for boldness on that day, August 13th. You know, the Foresters are going to be here giving the main gospel presentation, puppet show, and different things, and it's going to be in here. But you know what? A lot of you guys, maybe you're not even signed up to help necessarily, but there's going to be a lot of activity between here, between outside, and there's going to be a dinner afterwards that these children's parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, who knows, will come to. And we need you church folks to be sort of walking amongst them, talking to them, and saying, yeah, this is my church. You know, I love my church. Do you have a church where you go to? So pray that you all would have boldness, especially on that day. And then the third thing, and this really isn't a prayer request for tonight necessarily, but Wednesday night, I'm going to put that on our prayer sheet. In fact, the folks that come pray this Wednesday night, I'm going to ask them to spend the bulk of their prayer time asking that we would have more boldness. Being bold. Let's not walk away from it. Let's not shy away from it. I know it's scary. Man, isn't it? Sometimes. Pray that God would give us boldness. I mean, I don't think we even have to be scared about being stoned, dragged away to jail, and we're still shy. Pray for more boldness. I'm going to read that passage in Ephesians one more time, and then we'll be done, and we'll sing hymn number 282, and it's a quick sermon tonight. I know I must have talked fast. Ephesians 6:19 again. And for me that pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, maybe that ought to be the exact prayer you use. Pray for me. We always say, pray for me, I'm going to have a surgery. Pray for me. My grandson is having problems. I've never once in all my pastoral years of ministry ever heard somebody say, pray for me that I would be bold. Let's maybe renew that thought. Bring it back. Give it new life. Lord, pray for me that I would be bold. You know, this year seems like just a crazy year, especially in the world of politics and the world of our United States. You know, with so much upheaval, it seems like people tend to be a little bit more open and sensitive to the gospel. Is the Lord allowing all this to happen? so that we could actually step in and maybe fill that void with the love of Jesus Christ? Maybe, but it was his require of us, boldness. Boldness. All right, let's pray. Lord, we're about to sing this song that we're so glad we're part of the family of God, but help us not to get so the mindset of that we're just this inclusive family that doesn't reach out to the world, that doesn't speak boldly. Lord, help us to just get out of our comfort zones. And talk about you in boldness. Lord, I'm thankful for my family and friends here. And Lord, myself included, sometimes we just let that fire die out. Sometimes we, seems like we're, other people are putting it out and we put it out on each other and we try to talk sense into each other. May we take some notes from these apostles and go to even greater heights of boldness for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.